Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
Somebody sleeping in my bed, messing with my head, taking my place. Somebody sleeping in my bed, sleeping in my bed, messing with my head.
I can't sleep. Tell me why. Ooh, baby.
Yeah.
My bad.
Messing with my head.
That's this Francisco. Okay, I don't understand why he didn't have a more successful solo career.
Hey, Unleash the Dragon was one of my, like...
It was a classic. And that was the time. If you were around in the year 2000, like, Cisco was the top everywhere. Booked and busy, performing on every MTV thing, doing the flip.
I knew Cisco was that guy when DJ Cassidy started doing his, like, COVID concerts. Everybody else just, like, sat in a chair. He did a flip on Zoom.
He was made to be a star. That's no denying that. But hello, y'all. Welcome back to We Watch Too Much TV, Season 5, Episode 15.
Yes, 15 on the scene. Yes. Know what I mean?
This is our season finale, season 5 season finale. And we're excited because we have slowly been evolving our show and expanding it to include more episodes each season. And we really, you know, life be lifing, but we remain dedicated to just talking about the shows we love. And we love that people actually enjoy hearing us talk about the shows we love.
I just want to shout out, I just pulled our kind of like numbers. So I wanted to give a shout out for all 180 of our YouTube followers.
Yo.
We've gone up 70% in the past 2 months. So I wanted to end our thing. Like, we have over 180 followers. In the past month, it's been up 70%. So people are slowly but surely finding us. A lot of our housewife stuff gets a lot of likes, a lot of attention. And I want to shout out the different globes. We're really big overseas.
Oh, like, wow.
Europe and India are really feeling us. So if you're from Europe.
I love it. And once I get back on the East Coast, we could even start doing periodically like either live recaps or at least like right after the episode airs. Because it's like, people be ready.
Oh, we'll be on the same time zone. Yes.
Yes. We're on the same time zone. So now I could probably finally watch it live. Because remember, the app, they always been playing us since we've moved to LA. So I'm looking forward to that not happening anymore.
Yeah, they play it live Eastern time.
Right.
So they say it's on, but it's not on for you.
It's not on for me. So I am looking forward to now being able to watch live television again. And, yeah, we got more coming for y'all, so we're just going to take a little break, and we'll be back. But also, a lot of our favorite shows, even one of our favorites, is nearing its end for this season. And, yeah, so we'll be back just in time.
We got to follow, like, the TV realm of it. When it's a new season of us. Our season finale and Drag Race season finale is always
handy. Always coincides, and then we're typically back by like September.
Exactly, and that's when RuPaul starts interviewing her next season. So yeah,
exactly. Period. So like we were just talking about our social media, like and subscribe, follow us. You can rate and review us on whatever streaming platform that you're listening on. Send us comments; we respond back. We get good engagement too on different ones, depending on what, you know, cause we pull clips from our episodes and you guys are watching too. So
yeah, we actually got a review and that's crazy. Cause on the shows you spoke about, a friend of mine was like, can I get your input on this show? But it's on your weekly grab. So it just goes hand in hand. So I said that to say, We listen to y'all. We take your input. We take your feedback. Please
Oh,
give it.
which one is it? I gotta respond.
Pop the balloon. It was a text. My friend was like, I
Oh.
want to know you and your best friend's opinion on
Well,
pop.
we're talking about it. So we will get into that
Oh, no.
today. But listen, yes, follow us. But yes, like I just said, we are now finally going to get into what we've been watching as part of our weekly.
Like ASMR when they grab the screen. Yes.
That ASMR stuff cracks me up.
Like,
Because I like ASMR, but I don't watch that one. I literally only watch Japanese and Korean massages, head massages.
I like when
And
they
when they talk.
chew gum. I hate when people chew gum in real life, but I only like ASMR, like chewing gum and
Oh my
talking.
gosh, that's crazy.
It puts me to sleep.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Don't chew in my ear in real life. ASMR, I will go to sleep.
That's hilarious. I go to sleep to the head massage, and they be speaking Japanese, and it's like, "Push that, and it just their little voices. It's just like, I'm asleep. Thank you."
I'm done. Okay.
All right. So, what's first on your weekly grab, best friend?
Okay, first on my weekly grab is, we already know my favorite genre, medical dramas. It's a new one. I feel like every streaming platform is trying to find their niche in this very lucrative kind of like industry where the people who love medical dramas. So this one is called Pulse. It's on Netflix. It's brand new, has 10 episodes. It's kind of just the same, like new residents starting, more experienced senior residents, chief surgeons. But the biggest thing or the biggest difference between this one is a resident complained about one of her chief residents that he was sexually harassing her. She reported him to the board because he was participating in sexual harassment. They've actually been dating the entire time. They were dating, and his basically, he loved her. He was willing to give it all up for her. And I haven't finished it yet, but from what I've got gathered in the first five episodes, she complained that he was sexually harassing her, but she also lived with him. And so I think the biggest thing is, I want to be careful when I say this. But you have so many people taking her side. Oh my God, they fired him. They gave him, like, you can't come back. He's gone. They had like a medical emergency, so they needed him back for a certain allotted of time. But he started telling people, do you trust this girl? Are you sure what she's saying is okay? They do flashbacks in the season. They dated, they had a consensual relationship for a year. A year. Dated, fell in love. Talk to each other, and he loves her. He keeps telling all of his coworkers, please don't believe everything you hear. Give us a second, let everything kind of reveal itself. But they have a really heated argument, and she basically, well, he basically calls her out, like, you have me in this whole situation. You're not like speaking up for me. And she keeps saying, it's complicated, it's complicated. He's like, is my toothbrush not in your bathroom right now? Like, how is it complicated? You're saying I'm sexually harassing you or assaulting you, but we live together and I just had sex with you a couple days ago. So I'm only up to episode six. I feel like with the medical dramas, they're trying to give different perspectives. I just think it gives an interesting take to the whole sexual harassment claim, that energy in that space, because you have so many people who trusted her. One of her best friends is a black guy, and that was her. He had her back from day zero. The other guy was like, remember that paper that she told you to read? I read that several months ago. So make sure you trust this best friend before you call her your best friend, because everything she's telling y'all ain't true. So I think that's an interesting like space to put
I'm
it in.
confused.
Listen.
Are they saving lives? Can you
Yes, they
see
are.
them work with patients?
They are. But this is specifically about I think this show's premise is her pulse when it comes to this doctor. So yes, she's a good doctor. She saves patients, but they also are trying to figure out what type of person she is, because she said that one of the chief doctors, she's his subordinate. She complained about sexual harassment, yet they live together. Yet her
And
toothbrushes.
so she hasn't gotten caught that she's lying.
He kind of said it without saying it. Basically, somebody was calling him out while they're in surgery. And he's like, when are you ready to tell the truth? He's basically saying, you have people thinking, she has the whole hospital thinking he's some predator. And he's not. They were dating. And he
I
loved
don't,
her. He said, I love
I
you.
get it's entertainment, it's a show, 'cause I'm like, I don't get why he wouldn't have just said that when he was getting fired. Like,
Yeah.
but I guess they have to draw this out for the show. And then I
Yeah.
guess now you're hating the woman because it's like, why would you do that? When are you going to get called out? But then it's
It's
like,
very unclear. Like I
is the
said, I
show
haven't
is
finished it.
about?
I
What's
haven't
next
finished
season going to be about?
it. I hope that this is some feedback they'll take if you're anybody's listening from Netflix. Because they kind of after the fifth, sixth episode where I was like, so it wasn't harassment. So they're talking. So why did
I
he
don't
get fired? I
know.
got confused and I turned it off. And I went to another show that I'll talk about later.
Here's
But
my pulse on this show. Yeah.
there's that. First on your weekly graph. Because you're dead. You died. Time of death, 8:13 p.m.
Okay. First on my weekly grab is
Because you are confused. That show. That
not
pulse.
false.
They killed you. You
Not
did.
false, but it is on Netflix. And it's a page out of your book. It's a documentary. I watched a documentary called Bad Influence: The Dark Side of Kidfluencing. Kidfluencing, yes. About like the YouTube kids. So this one, it's three parts, and I'm interested to see if there's going to be more episodes and they follow other kids, because a lot of parents
You know,
been
you
like getting arrested or getting sued for like, the momagering of their kids on YouTube. So this three episodes follows the story, like the scandal surrounding Piper Raquel. This was a little girl who was from some part of Georgia and just already had that bubbly, vibrant personality. The mom picked up on that young, put her in pageants. So she started off as a pageant girl. And then as she started getting like older, like even like 10, social media is coming. And they had did like one, like some video, and it got, some views or whatever. So the mom was like, let's, and also I believe that these are what the kids were wanting to do, right? All these young kids are like, oh, I want to do a YouTube. I want to start a YouTube. So she starts a YouTube when she's like really young. And from there, she started just organically connecting with other little kids. And then they would make content together and it would perform well. So the mom just decides to like monetize on that and create the squad, where it's like she's having her daughter recruit friends, members of the squad, who are basically other little young aspiring YouTube influencers. All these kids are like 11, 12 years old.
It's given mini cult already.
So it starts off like as fun, but then what you're really seeing throughout it. So the YouTube girl's name is Piper Raquel. Her mother's name is Tiffany, and Tiffany works with Hunter. They are producer, editor, slash Tiffany's boyfriend, who's way younger, by the way. He's like 20 years younger than her. And then so you're just basically seeing that the mom has like this thirst for fame and fortune through her daughter. And at the same time, she's incredibly inappropriate, allegedly, but at the same time, a lot of these kids, because once, Piper was blowing up, she starts making all this money. So they move from Georgia to LA. Out here in LA, you lived out here, influencers are, you make content, let's get together. So then that's how she started to create this squad, and it's other kid YouTube influencers. And then it wasn't until, like she like said something to one girl's mom, and the mom, it clicked to the mom, like, oh, you're making money off of our kids in your daughter's videos, but you're not giving us nothing. So then that was one, like, the early part of just seeing how hungry she was. But she did start paying the kids or whatever, so they were making money. And then she started YouTube pages for the other kids too. So then now, when the mom is basically, so periodically, these kids just keep dropping off because it's a toxic, completely toxic work environment for, especially for children. And then on top of that, the mom is also being inappropriate. Like, there's one instance on camera where she kisses a 17-year-old trans boy that's a member of the squad, like, kisses him, makes out, like, and it's like extremely awkward. You could tell the little boy is just like
He didn't have
uncomfortable.
no idea,
And they
huh?
were on live. So that was one where she couldn't scrape it off the internet because it was on the live and she was drunk and being inappropriate. Then when they later, when shit starts hitting the fan and all the kids start speaking out, they all tell accounts where basically she had done inappropriate stuff. Like, she asked one girl when she was 11, would you ever give a blowjob? And the little girl didn't even know what it
What
is.
a
And
blow.
she was like, I could give Hunter a blowjob in front of you. And yeah. And the little girl was 11. So now in high, you know, when she's looking back, she's talking about it in the documentary. It's like it's even hitting her even more, just how traumatizing that was. A lot of these kids were traumatized. They all came together. Class action lawsuit filed in 2022 that they just settled last year for like 1 point something million. I divvied it up with the 11 kids. I think they all got 90K each. But you're even just seeing how they were curating this content and to like get more views, and it was just getting a little out of hand because you're considering these are kids, right? But this is where I learned the term shipping. So she was creating ships between the squad members.
Like you will want them to be together, kind of like, oh,
Yes.
okay.
But then the YouTube cover is like her daughter with like her shirt kind of lifted up, like, are we gonna touch? You know, like, we kiss? My first kiss. And it's like, watch, like, she was like sexualizing her daughter, sexualizing the children.
She's not in jail.
That's the thing. 'Cause at the end of the day gonna end. And I couldn't believe I said, so nobody whooped her ass. And I do believe I don't know if anybody pressed charges or why charges weren't pressed, especially with the kiss. I don't, you know, the kiss with the kid that was underage, it's on camera, it's in the documentary. She didn't take part in the documentary, neither did her daughter. It's because they're still going. They now she has the daughter on another platform, Brand Army, where it's basically like OnlyFans without like nudity, and kids can be as young as 13 to upload content, but you have to be at least 18 to s pay and subscribe to the content. So what is this now promoting and allowing? Yes.
Sounds like a madam. She sounds like she's peeping
It's
the dog.
really disturbing. I watched it. I watched all three episodes. I wanted to whoop her ass. As a mom of a daughter, it already just got me on alert with like not even wanting to encourage Marley to even just get into watching people live their lives on YouTube, because that was the other thing you're able to see is like, you know, you got to imagine like when your child is just so invested in these kids that are basically curating their lives for YouTube. And it's just like, I want my child to be more into living her life and getting to know herself and hanging out with her friends and doing things that she likes to do, not sitting up. But what I can say too is the timing of this. Kids were already watching the YouTube and doing that, but then the pandemic happened. So then now it's like, you
Okay.
know, that's really all they have. But I just watching it wouldn't want my daughter like being too invested in YouTube type content of that sort. And I don't even know if I want her to have a YouTube, or not even a YouTube, because people now are already saying like, oh, you should put her in commercials, or you know, because she's already so bubbly. And you know, I work in the industry. Her father works in the industry. I'm just not so moved into pushing her into where I feel like, do you know this is really what you want to do?
Yeah,
That's
I
what
don't
I don't think a lot of parents
see
who,
that. Yeah, a
you know,
lot of
there
people
are some kids,
have to make that decision. I love
right?
that.
There are some kids that they knew, right? Like maybe Beyonce knew from young, like, I want to be famous, I want to be a singer. And she kept saying that. And her parents were like, okay, great. We're going to push you, we're going to support you into this. But what if she didn't say that? And she was kind of just getting led into this by being forced to go to these auditions, forced to be in talent shows, forced to take singing lessons, forced to do this so you can be this. And it's just like that, like, are you really who you want to be? And I don't ever want to push my child into being who I want to curate her to be. I literally am looking forward to her getting old enough to tell me who she is and show me who she is and just say, I like this, I don't like that. Because I'm not gonna tell you like, oh, but you should do that. That's so no. And so that's really what was like really also disturbing for the parents that their kids got victimized. People were of course coming at them like, oh, how could you not? Like, I can see how they were just trusting their kids to just go hang out and make YouTube content. But at the same time, you just cannot be naive like that in this world. Like, I no way am I allowing my daughter when she's like 12, 13 to just be at somebody's house recording and I'm not
Yeah,
there?
there's
Hell
no way
no.
you're getting my child.
I'm sitting here the whole damn time. I'm already even thinking about when I'm gonna start letting her go to the movies and I'm not gonna pick up. I'll be like, I'll be right there. What time is the movie? I'll be right there. Oh, you wanna hang out with your friends? Y'all can't where are we going? You can hang out with your friends. I'm not gonna be up with you with your friends, but I'm gonna be right there.
Because I think the unfortunate part is like that's a parent too. That's another
Yeah.
thing. You would trust your kids with, but if parents
Exactly.
are partaking in this like
Right.
predatory behavior, who are you to say,
Crazy.
oh, that sounds good. I'll add it to the list.
Crazy. The other thing too is like, were y'all not looking at the way she was posting the videos on the YouTube, like the skins and the stuff? It's good though. I do hope that they do other because they ha kind of highlighted, like they showed a clip of one lady in court and stuff. So I hope that because the title of the documentary wasn't about the girl, like the story of Piper Raquel, which they do with other documentaries or they play off of the situation with the title. This one just seems like it's an open-ended docuseries for this issue of the dark side of kid influencing. So hopefully there's more episodes to come, but it's only three episodes, so when you got some time, check it out on Netflix. It's
I
crazy.
have to. And I felt like shout out to LA. California have changed their I think
Yes.
before this, their like whole rule
That
where
you
like
have to, if you're putting content out with your kids in it, they have to be getting paid from that content. Because, yeah, people are just creating whole lives for themselves. That's the other thing, too. I post my daughter on like periodically. If you actually look at my Instagram page, like you have to kind of go, there's certain posts of her or she's in it, or you might have to go through a slide and then see, you know, it's her. But I don't dedicate my page to my daughter. And I haven't started an Instagram page for my daughter. And no shade to anybody who's doing that. I'm just not doing that. And, you know, I'm just going to be more mindful of how I choose to post my daughter online because, yeah, like even recently, I didn't even think too much of it. Somebody like replied, some guy replied to like a little Instagram story post that included Marley. It was of Marley. And he wasn't following me. And I was like, what the fuck? You know, I
I'm
just didn't
careful
respond
about
and I'd be
posting
too
my son,
busy.
and my son is a dog. So I
Right.
don't under, if I
So
had
it's just, you have to be really careful and
a
especially with children and
creeps are
especially
creepy.
people are really creepy and they're really on the internet. Like people really, there are people out here that really have sicknesses and have attraction to children. It is
And the internet
disgusting.
has
It's
only
one of the,
exposed
it's
that.
literally, if not the most disgusting thing in the world, one of. And so you just want to be mindful of that. And what you're seeing from this docuseries is people aren't clearly because they're focused on putting their kids out there, letting it, and I get it, letting your kid have fun and then y'all make some money. But there's also a dark side.
Yeah, that's so nice.
What's next on your weekly grab?
Ooh. Next on my weekly grab is just another new season of one of my favorites, Top Chef. Personally, I love Miss Kristen Keish as the host. Better than Padma, the
Yeah.
old host. I mean, I might be a little biased because Kristen, I love you so much.
But was she a contestant on the show?
She won. She
Right.
was She was the first contestant to get eliminated. She got voted back in on Second Chance Kitchen. So she was the first Second Chance Kitchen winner, and then she won the series. So if it wasn't for her and Second
That's
Chance Kitchen,
crazy.
they would have probably
So
not
she got sent home first,
eliminated.
came back because she won Second Chance Kitchen, and then ended up winning. You never, that never happens.
Never.
Ever.
So when I say she was one, and then is actually a really big like chef, like made it on her own.
What
Her
season was that?
name, I
The
think 12 or 13.
Okay, I have to watch that. I have to, because I only just started Top Chef literally like in the last like 2 years.
When I tell you that's the whew, I love her. Sorry, Kristen, respectfully to your wife and everybody and your. But yeah, she became the host starting season 21, but she won the 10th season.
Okay, I'm gonna
The,
watch that
after
tonight.
she got sent home, she thought it was over. Tom created First Chance Kitchen. Like I said, I think it's like the first time he created it. She won, got back into the competition and won the whole thing. Won season
That's
10.
crazy. Because even now, when you watch the show, people can win First Chance Kitchen and come back, but that very
They
rarely is
don't
ever
win
the person
after
that
that.
wins. No one has ever won after already getting eliminated. She's the only one, and now she's hosting the show. That's See, divine.
It's because she's so beautiful. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yes,
I love her. She's
yeah, so
amazing.
season 22.
Season 20, like she's hosting season 22. She's the main host. Tom and Gail are back there in Canada this season. So you kind of get a lot of different cooking challenges. I love Top Chef because it teaches you that like sometimes you just have bad days. There are chefs who've won 3, 4, 5 James Beard Awards. They are like acclimated, but they just sometimes don't have enough time. They forget to cook their sauce. They forget to close their oven door. So it normalizes and humanizes people because it's like, yes, I am the top chef in all of LA, but I also forgot to turn the water on of the
I
stove.
forgot to add sauce to that one plate.
Literally, it's like one of the top the challenges, one of the chefs forgot to take plastic off or something.
Yes.
Like, oh my gosh, I didn't want all these awards, but I forgot in the heat of the moment, take the plastic off this food and I'm serving it to the judges. But just always good. I think she's a really good host. I think I love hosts of any show where the person has experience. So you can
Yes.
tell when she's giving them feedback, it's from experience. But it's also very interesting because they have new cooking challenges every day. I love Top Chef. It makes me think that I am a top chef. I'm a good cook, but I'm not a top chef.
I just want to be a judge. This
Oh.
last episode with Michael Cera, who it was labeled as an actor and Top Chef super fan.
That would be me.
I am so jealous. I be telling my husband like I am one day either gonna be on like a judge of just a challenge in Top Chef or Is It Cake or Spring Baking. Holiday baking champion, any of the championship bakings.
It tastes a little dry.
Oh, it's a little dry. Oh, you know what? That was dense. That was dense.
I don't taste the caramel. It was a
I
caramel
just want to eat. I literally just came for the food, baby. Like the food. But it does help you also improve your cooking.
It does. You
Because
throwing a
you
microphone.
start to think, like, how can I zhuzh this up a little bit?
Not frying things, certain seasoning, everything, but I just love the challenge. I
The
love the dynamic.
challenges are great. I love that one challenge where they brought in five chefs from around the region, and they each had a region that of their food that's
That they had
you
to
know
cook.
unique, you know cl strong to their region, which as Americans we can understand because it's the same, right? So it's like this is for like the West, but they just title theirs differently, except for that Arctic, because we ain't got no damn Arctic. And so yeah, they were tasked with having to like
Alaska? Would that be the U.S. Arctic? Alaska.
basically, yeah, you're right. Yeah, so they had to like match the food for you know the each of their regions, and just to see how everyone does something like with similar if they're kind of given similar themes or you know like but make it unique to their style. I was honestly really surprised with the last two chefs that got sent home. I could have believed it. I was like, no way, like
It's just such hard competition and it's really
I
tough.
know.
This is why it's one of like
But
the best.
yeah, good show. And I do
Hate.
believe that Kristen is such a good host, be like you said, because of her experience in the show. And I think oftentimes what happens with these shows, even if sometimes it is someone who has the experience, but it depends on how you got the experience, right? Like that humility factor is just gone. And you see it, but you see it more, I would say, on like the fashion shows. I'm watching old seasons of Project Runway with Heidi Klum and Tim Gunn and Nina Garcia, who's still on the show, but it's like their way of delivering feedback is just so mean. It is so mean, so mean girl, so like, you
I
know.
hate it. I don't like it. Try it.
And but it's the energy of that show because you get Heidi Klum on. Actually, no, I'm lying, because I remember making the cut, and I believe I had did a panel when I used to work on AfterBuzz, and I said the same thing, like, I don't like how Heidi talks to the, because she probably brought that from Project Runway, because it's like, Heidi, have you really sewn anything ever?
Girl, no. She was a model and had it sewn.
Exactly. So it's like, where are you coming from with all of this? But then you see on like Top Chef, I would even say Next Level Chef, because any, yes, Gordon Ramsay, he curses, but it's like he's literally mentoring it with love. So I, and it, you could just, from him, from Blaze, from my homegirl,
Naisha.
Naisha, the way they speak to the chefs is just with a level of like, they understand what you're feeling right now, but relax and you're gonna get through this. And I get that same tone from Kristen on Top Chef, because even at times, some of the guests that she has come in, they might have that little uppity,
But not her.
but not
She
her.
knows. She understands
So
us like this.
it that resonates with me, because I really hate watching snooty ass judging, unless you're like doing it on purpose to like, you know, but it's like, come on. I don't really like it on Project Runway. That's the one thing. That's why I'm still disappointed that Making the Cut and Next in Fashion are not here, because it's like, ugh. Y'all going back to Project Runway, it's basically just
I
condoning
posted
them.
that on a promo when you were like shows and I hear I was like I know the two shows she's exactly talking about Making the Cut and Next in Fashion they just disappeared.
Just disappeared, and it's just not fair. Those were good shows.
It's harder for the newer
Tan
show.
Brits.
Yeah. I mean he still got queer up but he ain't got no
I
next
know. Okay. So, and oh, it was my turn. We just started talking. We went on a tangent. But we're gonna actually, it flows. Well, what's next on my weekly grab actually flows, because it's still about food. Next Level Chef, season 4. It's really heating up. I'm really loving where they're taking this season with just the way they're doing the challenges. We are seeing the judges get in the kitchen with the cooks, and
That was my favorite.
that
That
was my favorite. Or even this last one where it was like quick fire rounds of 20-minute cookathon to the bottom level. And it was just so sad to see Natalia fall short. Also, just too, because I believe there was like some other chefs that they got lucky this time around. But
Same. It's a couple chefs that's just like,
I'm
how you
just
still
the
there?
one that made that damn po' boy sandwich when it wasn't like the challenge, that it was like, why would you do that? Him. And then the one little girl we all know, because she's been at, in the bottom a
And
little bit, but she,
she good. It's like, are you that good? Or they just like you could be young.
But you know, I'm really just loving how they're finding new ways to keep the show spicy. When it's already spicy, right? Like, this is what I love. I say it every time when I talk about it, because I talk about it every season. But the excitement that this show gives you because of the style of it, with that conveyor belt, and then them having to, they don't know what they're cooking, right? Like, you don't know what meat you're gonna, what ingredients you're gonna get to make this recipe in what, 30 minutes. And it's, I could tell, I'm sure it's so tense, so stressful, but they rise to the occasion each time. And then you're also seeing the sometimes the judges kind of like get in and help them chop stuff, and it's just exciting. Always too, when they drop stuff on the desk to the bottom.
They have it in their shirt and they're
Like,
like,
yeah, I dropped my tenders, my chicken tenders. Yeah.
my
So
favorite thing about that show is that they eventually stop becoming teammates. I feel like most shows where there's teams, there's always teams, and
Yes.
they might like each other, but after a certain point, it's like everybody for
Everybody
themselves.
for
And
themselves.
I'm just really rooting for Richard. I pray when we come back next season, he has won. I feel like he is owed a win. He's just like
I
rooting
know. I feel like this could be his season though.
one of his cooks, I feel like, is the one to beat.
But the way those, I'm wondering if the little, and I really like the little young girl. Like she has such a
Yeah.
good energy and spirit. But I am wondering like if it's gonna get tense for her. Cause it's like she right now you could, start to feel yourself a bit if you just keep winning. So
Yeah. And like I said, Gordon Ramsay's his whole team is under 25.
I couldn't believe it. Like that really,
Oh,
like
he has
just
three
yeah.
people. He voted on the 18, 22, and 24 or something.
Crazy, but he's a genius. He's looking to the future.
Yeah,
So
I know.
yes, Next Level Chef season 4. Love it. It's on Hulu. Go watch it. What's last on your weekly grab, best friend?
To end out our medical dramas for the season, the one thing that you can always entrust is that I'm gonna watch a medical drama. TikTok has been talking about the pit, the pit, the pit, the pit, the pit. So as I was taking out these braids this weekend, I watched the pit, all 15 episodes of season one. And it's one of my favorite medical shows of all time. The difference between this medical show and all the 50,000 I've been watched. The whole season is one day. So each episode of the season is only 1 hour of one day in the pit, which is they call the emergency room. When we go to the emergency room, our families call it like the pit. So it is the most, a lot of doctors and nurses have been saying it is the most accurate depiction of what we go through as nurses. So it takes place on, I think, a Friday or a Saturday in Pittsburgh. With the head doctor, his nurses, residents, and like just what goes on. And like I said, it's 15 episodes, but it's only 15 hours in a day. So that same season, that one season is one day, which I love because when you watch Grey's, when you watch The Post, they make it seem like all of this stuff is happening in a, no, this is all within a week or two. Within that day, they had a mass casualty shooting. They had a little girl drown in the water. They had a same-sex couple with sickle cell who needed treatment. They had, there's just so many medical cases they have during the day.
Right.
And it's the most like, it was so heartwarming, so gut-wrenching. I was rooting for Noah Wiley. Shout out to him. He was on ER back in the 90s. Now he's like a head doctor in this new show. I want to give a big F you to whoever's trying to sue him, trying to say like the pit is like ER when it's not. I tried to watch ER, which was like Grey's Anatomy in the 90s. I couldn't get past the first episode. The pit has me. If you're into medical shows, if you are into the drama without the drama, the biggest difference between the pit and Grey's Anatomy is that you know that two nurses used to date in the pit, but they don't show you why. They don't give you the backstory. They focus on the patients and current, but then they tie everything around. Like the head doctor, his mentor died after COVID. And so it kind of affected. And the day they were shooting was his 3-year anniversary of dying. So you have some context, you don't. They have new doctors starting, and their first day, there's a shooting in like a pit fest, which is like a Coachella in the TV world. Anyway, all 15. I don't remember a show where I had to finish it. Like I had,
Yeah.
every time I turned on my TV, it was to finish the pit. If they don't win every Emmy that they're like nominated for, it's gonna be crazy because it's such a good
It
show.
sounds like good writing and like the way they connect all the stories.
They have real life doctors
I'm not
on set.
confused.
Yes, no, they have real life doctors on the set. It's you would like it better than The Post because you won't be confused. It's like they're at the ER room. So then you get to see the waiting room. I've never seen a medical show where they show the waiting room. When we go to the ER, you have to wait hours. They show a guy eventually getting angry and he hits a nurse because he goes in for a heart murmur. He's there for 7, 8 hours. They determine that he's not serious, which I've been through when I've gone to the ER. If I'm not, you're not bleeding. Or nothing's broke, they don't care, but you get to see it on the other end where he gets so mad he punches a nurse in her face. And they talk about like doctor and nurse abuse, which has been up since COVID. They talk about there's one scene where a little boy catches measles going with his sister to a dance competition, and the mother just doesn't believe in vaccines. And the doctor's trying to tell him, hey, your son, there are a million people we can't save tonight. We can save your son. He needs this shot. The mom's like, oh, it's, I read this. And he's like, you got these, excuse my language, like, you got these fucking parents in here who don't know anything trying to tell me how to do my job. And I'm trying to save their child. And they'd rather read on Google that I'm wrong instead of trust me and my years of experience. And so I just love that this show, it gives you such an insight into the emergency room. I promise anytime I go, God forbid I'm sick or anybody I know is sick, I'm gonna be nice. I'm gonna be polite. I'm gonna say thank you to the nurses. Not like I wasn't before, but it gives me a different level of respect because you don't know how long those people have been there. You don't know who done punched them in the face, spit on them over things they can't control. But then you have the corporate people and the masses like, we need better satisfaction. We need higher satisfaction scores. The head doctor's like, but I need more people working. You don't want to give me the budget. You want me to get better scores so I can make you look better, but you don't want to give me hardworking doctors and nurses. So, The Pitt, best medical drama I've seen in a long time. I finished season one. Can't wait for season two. It's coming in January. That's wrapping up my weekly grab. What is
All right,
wrapping
with
up
the
you?
medical drama.
I
And
love
no
medical
surprise
drama.
that Taneya wraps up her season 5 weekly grab with not one, but two
I
medical
love
drama.
it because I'm.
And Kristen Keish.
Yes.
It's very all on brand for Taneya. Last time my weekly grab is on brand for me because it's on my favorite channel, HGTV. And it's one of my favorite shows. I've talked about this show before, but each season it's new. Rock the Block, season 6. This time they've made it different. It's rookies versus vets. So two teams, it's their first time on Rock the Block competing. And then two other teams are veterans, one consisting of two people that have competed on the show before, one being a prize winner. So they are in Utah, gorgeous. It looks like it's a great area, mountain views. As you know, with Rock the Block, they are four teams are given the same property, but just in what's going to be of this new community. So they're breaking ground in this new community, this building these four houses. So the house structure is already built, and now it's up to them to just like design it now. So it's like, say that they'll have the option of deciding where the kitchen goes or where certain rooms have to, sometimes certain rooms have to be certain places because of the way the piping is set up or just if how it was already built. But for the most part, these designers really it have free game to turn this house into what they want. And so they are able to show off their own unique styles. Past winners, we've seen Egypt Sherrod and Mike Jackson win season 3, and then season 4 was Michelle and his teammate part co-worker on partner on Lux for Less. So Michelle is back. He's on a team with Allison Victoria, who is on Windy City Rehab. She does rentals in Chicago. And then what I love what Michelle Smith Boyd does on Lux for Lex is exactly what it says. So it's like he just makes these spaces look luxurious, whether it's an apartment, a house, just a space, and for a really good price. Then the other veteran team is the two new kids on the block brothers who are have slash transitioned into home renovations. Jordan
And
and
Jonathan, I love that.
Jonathan Knight.
Love it. Shout
So
out to
John,
Jonathan, the gaming
yes. So
spot.
first, so far, and I'm still finishing up the final challenge, the first episode, the challenge, the judging. So far, Jonathan and Jordan are designing my house. Like they are standing out to me. I'm like they're doing like a modern farmhouse theme.
They got the right stuff? You got the right stuff.
They got the right stuff. Like
Amen.
I'm loving their design. So those are the two veteran teams. The two rookies are two couples that are they're all HGTV stars, everyone on the show. So the one couple, they renovate homes on Renovation Aloha, and the other one, their show is Down Home Fab. And so they all are tasked with competing to design the same 5,500 square foot homes, and starting this new community in Utah. At the end, the last episode, whoever designs their house in a way that has the highest appraisal rate, you know, like how you're gonna be able to flip that home and be worth the most, they're the ones who end, and then that little block is named after them. So the judge and
Oh, block.
the little town part, yes.
Oh, yes, I want to be on that show because I want a block named
The
after me. I don't
first judge that is judging on the first episode is Bobby Burke, former Queer Eye,
how to.
on Netflix star. And so it's nice to see him making his soft launch on HGTV because it's clear he is moving on and thriving. He's not
Okay.
being
Usually when you do
pigeonholed.
something like that,
And
they
he's such a good
better.
judge. Like
Yeah.
everything he was saying that he didn't like about, like, I would say, for example, Jordan and Jonathan's house, it was like, yeah, there were too many like these ceiling things. It kind of it smallens the space. The way they had to, they were tasked with incorporating this little A-frame cabin they dropped, and everybody had to take pieces of wood and incorporate it into their design. And Jonathan and Jordan just took the door and like glued it to the wall and made it like a hanging piece. And Bobby was like, I would have done more with that. It just, I don't know. It's just, but the fact that they brought Bobby on the show, he hasn't been on the show before. And so he doesn't have a show. Typically, when they start off with the judging, it's somebody who either has been a previous contestant, one has a show on HGTV. To bring on Bobby, it's clear, like, I feel like that's a soft launch. I think he's gonna have his own show. I'm here for it. He deserves. I just didn't like the whole how the fallout was with him and the rest of the group. And I love the new, what's the new one's name?
Oh, Jeremiah Brent. I think he
Love
fits
him. So
amazingly.
I think it all worked out how it's
It
supposed to
worked
work
out.
out. And
Yeah.
I think Bobby is just going on to his own lane. And yeah, so Rock the Block season six. I can't believe it's been six seasons. I started watching the show season three when Egypt and Mike won. So I've been sticking with the show for the last three seasons, and I went back and watched the first two seasons.
You've been sticking with HGTV.
Oh yeah, I watch it all day. When I'm like, if I'm like, sometimes I'll watch like other stuff, but then I'm just like, okay, House Hunters. Okay, House Hunters International. Because
Only
it
person
really
I know who watches this as much as you is my grandmother, who will be
Yep.
89.
It's because it puts you in the places, though. Like when I watch these people apartment hunt, first of all, it's great. I could have just been on the episode when I was apartment searching. Because
Apartment.
literally, that's what you're doing. You're going and it's always this one has this, but it doesn't have that. It's rare. You're never gonna really find one that has everything unless you got the budget for that. So just a lot of times, what you see, whether it's the home renovation or your apartment or house hunting, how are you going to compromise? And then what are you going to find that at least suits you? And it's always going to suit you because you're always where you're supposed to be. So that's why I love HGTV. I'm totally in my mom HGTV era.
Such a mom wife show. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at this
Yes.
apartment show. I'm quick to do a house, but I love that they have that. And I love that they're opening it up. Like it
Yes.
used to be just only older people, but I love how
Yeah.
much like I watch HGTV. I'm a
Yeah.
young millennial wife and mom.
Yeah, even if you
So
look at
bad.
the a lot of the so, like they still have some people that I wouldn't say they're like they're not Martha Stewart. Like very rarely do you see like someone of her age. Like if you're seeing someone older, they're probably like Gen X. But for the most part, like a lot of it is like millennials, Gen X. You're even starting to see some of these Gen Zers come in because they're all you're doing is growing up, right? You're just growing up, and now it's like I have a space. What do I do with this space? I actually care. What do I do with this space? So, yeah, there's always a market for HGTV. But all
You're
right,
number one fan,
y'all.
Jocelyn.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That's TEA and the letter V. And now that you've gotten a breakdown of what we've been watching, we're gonna let you know who we're not liking so much. Put your lighters down for these people as part of our piss poor performance.
More ASMR. Psst, psst, psst.
Okay. Best friend, who are you not feeling?
Am not feeling got to get out on Hulu. It is their new reality TV show. It just came out this past week. I gave it a good 3-episode watch. I try to give every new show, whether reality or drama, 2 to 3 episodes before I decide it's not for me. What I realized in the first 2 episodes had me. They were all, well, first thing I didn't like. I don't like how the promo is only the 10 reality stars. It wasn't until I saw episode 1 that I realized, oh, there's 10 normal, quote unquote, people, firefighters, a nurse, a gamer, an influencer that they don't even show on the promo. I personally don't like that. I'd rather you would have just shown Simu Liu, the host, but the way that y'all prop up the reality stars, and I didn't like that. I just felt like I thought it was just gonna be those 10. There's a whole other 10 mofos that showed up. I'm like, where'd they come from? So basically, there's $1 million that you could win. There's a timer in the house that counts up to $1 million. There are going to be different kind of like games, if you will, to try to escape. If you escape and get a partner, then you have a bigger cut of it. After the third episode, where I realized the third attempt, they were gonna make it hard. I'm like, oh, so nobody ever gonna get out of this damn house. It's not fun. It's not gonna be a good show if they make it so hard and so easy for other people to get caught. I don't wanna root spoil it if you plan on watching it, but only 2 people out of the 20 get out.
It just
Out of the
didn't seem as
whole
interesting.
8 episodes, where up to 20 people have a chance to get out, only 2 do it.
They lost me when I went to the first episode and then they played like the trailer of like what the show was about. And I was like, oh, they can't, they're not leaving the house. No,
You
and how
can't,
they
yeah.
have to try to sneak out and then somebody without somebody catching them to get to the car. Then they lock the car at the end of the night. So how,
They
so
make it so,
I was like, oh,
oh,
okay,
they
I'm
have
not
a
watching. Thank you.
watchtower, they have windows, you have a lever, you can stop it. And then, spoiler alert, nobody goes home and doesn't win anything, basically. They end up fighting and stuff, but the premise that they set up the fights and stuff don't want to make you continue. It's just after I
It didn't
realized
catch me.
at the end of episode 3 that the person wasn't going to get out, I literally went to episode 8. I was like, oh, so everybody wins but these 2 people. So I'm sorry,
I didn't make
Hulu.
it past 5 minutes. I don't, not even, no, not even 5 minutes, like 30 seconds, literally.
The first two
Oh.
episodes, 2.5, once I realized at the end of episode 2, going to episode 3, that y'all were setting up this person for, please give everybody the same love, even though, because most of the show is about the people you don't know. Most of
Wow,
the
you
premise that
really
they,
wouldn't know that. I thought it
no.
was like, because I only really even recognized like Omarosa.
Omarosa, Kim Zolciak, Cynthia Bailey's on it. They have Val from Dancing with the Stars. They have 2 or 3 bachelor people, but we're not bachelor people, so we wouldn't know them. No shade. They have Rashad Jenkins. I only know him because he was on Dancing with the Stars. He used to play in the NFL. And then they have, yeah, they don't. The only other funny part was one contestant was from The Golden Bachelor, and she was so excited to be on one of these
Oh.
shows that she completely missed. Her clue was to be a secret, and she told the like everybody kept looking at her like, "Girl, you know you're not gonna get far. You know we're gonna like push your
Oh.
butt." But she was like, "I love games." She was like, "Everybody, come here. I got a clue." And the person she gave the clue to was like, do she not recognize that, like, she just messed it up? But yeah, I said it to say Hulu. I don't like the premise. I would have rather them keep the famous people than the 10 9 or just like give them some promo. But
Right.
how they have the show, it's hard to keep up slash care after about 2 3 episodes. So yeah, I understood the attempt. It really didn't work out.
It
And
didn't
Kim,
work out. Sorry.
it didn't
Thanks.
work out. Stop being so desperate. But yeah, that's
Right.
my piss poor. Who you pissing on this week?
My piss poor is the same, similar new show that they just need to make an old past show. Pop the Balloon Live. It was horrible. The horrible gentrifying of what was a good YouTube show for the culture. I tuned out after 5 minutes, literally. Johnny Bananas was doing the absolute most, but it's also like, why are you always available? Like, can you be busy? And I felt like everyone there was trying to be a comedian instead of being themselves, and it's really just reeking of overproduction. Please stop it before it gets worse and leave it on YouTube with regular everyday people because that's actually why it was doing well. You're moving it to LA, the worst place of all to try to hook
Everybody
people
wants to
up.
be famous.
Everybody's trying to be famous. You're not going to get organic people. It's like, oh, a camera, sign me up. And so that's what you're getting, i.e. Johnny Bananas. And it's just it's not at all the same vibe feel of what you know it to be, which honestly was a predominantly black thing. Like it wasn't all black, but for the most part, yeah, like it's a black couple. I believe they're based in Atlanta, started it, and they were getting good regular people on there because you didn't know who you was gonna get. And it's not like these people are trying to be famous, but they probably just don't mind going on camera to maybe find somebody to date, maybe not. So now you're just not getting that at all because y'all took it to LA, where everybody there is out for the thirst and the quest of fame, even if it's just a little 5 minutes or pop the
Amazing.
balloon live, because you'll see them in like a year or two on Too Hot for TV or whatever, and they're like, yeah, I was a contestant on Pop the Balloon Live. No, I'm over it already. They got dragged on Twitter and social media, so I really hope that the show is done. Keep it with the couple, because not trying to, I know they at least gave them producer credit, and like the girl passed the mic to Yvonne Orji at the start of the episode, like blessings or whatever. But y'all know y'all are doing it way better, so let's keep it like that.
The same attention you gave Got to Get Out is what I gave to Pop the
So we
Balloon.
switched. You lasted 30
It didn't
seconds.
even last two, like after a minute, even like the whole begin,
Yeah.
like someone who's never seen a YouTube, I've seen the clips, but I've never watched it. I was like, well, let me give it a chance. I turned it on. I kind of understood Arletta and the girl, and then they lost me.
I
I
was
said, ooh, I gotta turn it off. So shout out to Nikki. She wanted to know we watched too much TVs and put on it because she said, I love Pop the Balloon on YouTube. I hated the show. It's
horrible.
not the show. It's
Horrible. Right.
everything doesn't need a remake.
I
Everything doesn't
know.
need
And also,
sequel.
too, it's like,
Everything needs
why? Like,
to
y'all got so much money. Why can y'all not come up with original ideas? And I'm sure y'all have the staff there that is giving y'all original ideas, but you probably have older people that are like, oh, wait, I saw these people. I saw this on like Twitter, and I
It's
think
the same with a balloon and they pop it.
we should
How can we get that
do a
lucrative?
live version. And then everybody else, because they got to be yes men and keep their job, they're like, oh yeah, oh yeah. No. Anyways, so that's what we don't like for our piss poor season five, season finale. Now we're going to get into who we are rooting for as part of our yes segment. Put your lighters up.
Yes, put your lighters up.
Okay, who you rooting for,
Your
best friend?
light, put it. Okay. My yes is going to who I think can now win RuPaul's Drag Race season 17. I didn't think she couldn't win earlier, but as the season progressed, I'm like, she might actually be a good person, and that's Jewel Sparkle. I think her headliner show where she just was like had a little like phrase and things, I could see her stitch sticking. And at first I was like, oh, it's gotta be Anya. Anya is now giving an All-Stars winner to me, not an original winner. There's something in Jules's like energy. There's something in her creativity and her youthfulness that I'm like, that might be my star. So I'm shout out to you, Jules. When we post this, it'll probably be the season finale. I'm a vote. I'm a hashtag team Jules. You get your little votes. But I'm rooting for her. Like she has slowly become one of my front runners. So my yes is going to Jules. Girl, you that girl.
Love it.
Give it up for the 22-year-olds. I hope you win.
Yeah, honestly, this is the one season where I'm not completely 100% on who I want to win. I know it is between who I've been with from the day one. Y'all know I've been Team Anya and Team Jewel Sparkles. I even did like Arrietty at first, but you know. So I'm still Team Anya. I'm still Team Jewel Sparkles because I've been watching both of their journeys the whole time. So I can't say that one worked harder than the other. But everything you are saying about Jewel's, is the same way I feel. And then just when it comes to Anya, it's just like she has done what she does so well each and every time, and she stayed true to who she is as a drag queen. Like it doesn't change because it's not like she's still trying to figure it out, you know, like this is who Anya is. And I don't even feel like it's gimmicky. Like it's just, it's natural. So And it is a little bit more mature, but also too, like, she could be really funny too, because that's what we've seen in the challenges. So yeah, I'm rooting for both of them, and whoever
But
wins.
honestly, this is the first season. Anyone could win. Lexi, Sam, Anya, or Jules. I would not be mad.
No,
I honestly.
I would. I'm sorry. I'm only rooted for Anya or Jules. I just don't think that Lexi and Sam, like, Sam is just very well put together. But it's so funny that the images of this, I think did they just record the finale or whatever?
Yeah, they pre-recorded it and they announced the different winners
I
so that
will
people know.
say Jules wore the dress that is
That
like,
looks like she won.
I'm the winner. And Sam wore the last dress that would say you're the winner. Like you're always, it's like, now, like I said, gimmicky. It's like, okay, we get it. You're from the South. You don't have to just keep, y'all, hee-haw, y'all. But
I'm from the country
I
and
do
I'm
love
proud.
Sam. He has given me like some of my favorite confessional moments throughout the season. Like, I love his like commentary. Also really like sweet, but you could tell he does it in like tough love. But that episode with the parents, when you met his mother, it was like, oh yes,
Got
that's
it. And my favorite new thing is cut two. Like, oh, you did cut two.
cut two.
Like, cut two. The
Yes.
one
And
that
then Lexi has been so annoying this season. I'm sorry. And granted, she's opened up a lot, so we understand where this inner saboteur comes from, but that doesn't mean it's not annoying.
No, I don't think Lexi's gonna win,
Because you're
though.
insufferable. But I would say there was a point, was it Lexi or I believe, where I felt there was a challenge. I felt like, yes, there is a runway where I felt, and challenge where I felt like she should have won and she didn't. And she was disappointed about it when they did the Untucked. But yes, I like Lexi, but no. The only two who I'm rooting for to win is Onya and Jules.
I think those are top two for sure, for
Yeah, for
sure. But
sure.
I just want to give my yes to Jules because I don't want to say I doubted her, but now closer to, I'm like,
I
oh,
get
I
it.
can see her. Yeah. So yes, Jules. Who are you rooting for this week?
So it's so funny. I'm also rooting for some Drag Race people, but they already lost, but they won in love. I am rooting for Corey King and Lydia B. Collins. They are literally my new favorite ship.
Favorite, favorite.
I was so here for seeing them. Like, you could tell they're really a couple. And really doing this. And you've seen people hook up and be flirty and stuff on past seasons, but I think this is like the first real relationship
Yeah.
that has come.
Who's
They're
gonna
very
officiate their wedding? Mark my words.
right. Because
They're gonna call Rue to officiate their wedding.
Corey's in Boston and Lydia is in Philly, I
They're
believe.
not far. Yeah,
They're not
they're
far.
not
So I'm rooting
far.
for them. I really love it. And also my other favorite ship is on Survival of the Thickest. Tanea, I don't care. I'm late, so don't tell me if they already broke up. But the painter dude, the artist dude, and the little student that
Hello.
Khalil
I
and his
forgot.
girlfriend, if they broke up, don't tell me. Cause right now, very rarely am I really into watching a couple on screen, like in anything, like a scripted, a movie. I don't really care. I kind of like when it's like love scenes or talk scenes, I'm just like, I'm watching it as it relates to the storyline, but I'm not like invested in it. I am like invested in watching Khalil and this woman because they really look so good together and their energy and the chemistry, really good on screen chemistry. So if they broke up, they're gonna get back together.
I'm not gonna say
All right,
anything.
anyways, so everyone, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, stick with us, especially follow us on social media because we are gonna be on a break, but we'll periodically still post on social
It's
media.
a good show, if it's a hot take, we're gonna post it. But y'all can
Exactly.
catch up to the first five seasons. Thank y'all for who's been sticking with us for all five seasons. Thank you to our new listeners who always text me on the side, like, I love you and your best friends. So just shout out to everybody who gives our pretty little podcast a chance and a listen. We appreciate it.
So, on that note, let's close it out with some positivity.
Some Zen. Zen when. I sorry, I was thinking about Zen when. Okay. I truly believe that everything that we do and everyone that we meet is put in our path for a purpose. There are no accidents. We're all teachers. If we're willing to pay attention to the lessons we learn, trust our positive instincts, and not be afraid to take risk or wait for some miracle to come knocking at our door. Miss Marla Gibbs. Now that
I love Marla Gibbs.
she's in her 90s, still acting, still getting books. She was just on the season of Grey's Anatomy playing somebody's grandmother. Y'all better book my 94-year-old queen, Marla Gibbs. Okay. What's your positive quote?
My positive quote is self-respect, self-worth, and self-love all start with self. Stop looking outside of yourself for your value. And that is from Pinterest.
Pinterest.
All right, y'all. We're closing it out with what I don't have right now. I got the first two, but not the last one. What's our closing slogan, best friend?
Ooh, love, abundance, and hair bundles, because sometimes you ain't got the budget and you need to do some $25 hair bundles.
Clip-ins. Or you could just do a little blowout. Let your scalp breathe. That's what I got going on right here. I'm kind of feeling
Sometimes you
it.
gotta make that weave quick. Put
I was
them.
about to put my weave back in, but I'm kind of looking at my hair and I'm like, I think I just
Listen,
need
girl, you better let that soul grow. You better let that hang time in. Yeah, because we're going glue these weave tracks in.
back, throwback to gluing in tracks like it's the 90s. All right, y'all. Be blessed. See you next
Yes, we'll see
season.
you next season. Stay in contact. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.